Yes, we just have the one, Jerry DeWitt. And I told him if he wasn't any good, then everyone was going to think that every straight white dude is bad at speaking.
How did he take that?
Well, he laughed at me.
Welcome to the Humanist Hour, the official broadcast of the American Humanist Association. In this episode, we'll talk about what you can accomplish with a little painter's tape on the floor, as well as dinosaur body puppets and slap fights at prom, and Jerry DeWitt's ninja preacher skills. Skepticon is an unusual conference in several ways. It started as a student-run event that survived its founder's graduation. It's an independent event run as its own nonprofit organization. It's a free conference and vows to remain that way. In any given year, roughly half its speakers are women. It's held in a smaller city in the middle of the country in a very religious area. It attracts a younger audience on average, many of whom bring their families. It blends religious skepticism with what proponents call scientific skepticism with a minimum of friction. In short, Skepticon meets many of the demographic and other challenges the secular and skeptical movements have identified. It's no surprise, then, that it's the largest annual conference in either of these movements. This week, we talk with Skepticon co-founder and president Lauren Lane about Skepticon's past and its future. We talk about its history of innovation and what it's changing this year. Lauren will tell you what you can expect at this year's Skepticon, November 11th through 13th. We'll also laugh rather a lot. Today, I am talking with Lauren Lane, who is the president and one of the founders of Skepticon, which she won't say it, but I will because I've looked into the numbers, is at this point the largest atheist or skeptic conference in the U.S. Welcome to the show, Lauren.
Thank you for having me.
So for folks who might not know, tell me a little bit about Skepticon. Where is it? When is it? That sort of thing.
Sure thing. Skepticon is a skeptic convention that we host yearly in November in Springfield, Missouri. This year will be held on November 11th, 12th, and 13th. We're at the Ramada Oasis Hotel and Convention Center in Springfield, and we're super excited to get our ninth year under our belts.
Excellent. 9 years down. Did you think it was going to be 9 years when you started?
No way. No way. There's no way. We started this as a student group on Missouri State's campus. We brought in two speakers, and we thought that would be the end of it. And here we are 9 years later, and we just keep going. None of us could have foreseen it becoming what it is today.
So bringing in a couple of speakers isn't unusual for a student group. What made you decide to do it again?
Stupidity? No, I don't know. We had such a good time that first year that we decided, well, let's just do it again. We'll make it bigger and better. And we just gained traction. There was a local interest, and we were pretty gung-ho about making it stick year after year, and I think it's just hard-working nature that we're here 9 years later, and also a little bit of not knowing our limits, or respecting our limits.
So, if somebody comes to Skepticon, what can they expect? Because obviously you've got more than just a couple of speakers now.
Yeah, we've grown to be a three-day adventure. It starts with workshops, and we have speakers, we have a game night on Friday, we have a prom on Saturday night, and in between that is plenty of socializing and having a lot of dino-tastic fun.
Explain the dinosaurs. How did dinosaurs get connected to Skepticon? Because they're everywhere. They're part of your t-shirt design every year. They're on all of your stuff. Why dinosaurs?
Well, why not dinosaurs, Stephanie? We needed a mascot. We felt we needed a mascot, and we like dinosaurs, so we made dinosaurs it. And each dino has a name and a very elaborate backstory that we like to harp on, but we make them up as we go along.
So
pick a dinosaur. Who is your dinosaur this year that you're featuring on your t-shirt? Tell me a little bit about this dinosaur.
Ah, okay.
Because I don't know whether this is a he or a she or a non-binary dinosaur.
This dinosaur is their name. Well, her name is Marie. She's named after Marie Curie. that's all I remember right now. I know that she has stars on her back. She's into Carl. Carl is the Stegosaurus. Carl is one of our favorites, I think, because he's gender fluid, and he loves a lot of things unabashedly. He's kind of our Steven Universe of the Skepticon dinosaur world.
I am totally unsurprised that Skepticon has a very enthusiastic dinosaur.
I know, this is shocking. Very shocking stuff.
As we've been talking, I'm guessing that our listeners are probably picking up that Skepticon is not the most formal of affairs. Is that a fair thing to say?
That's entirely fair. Yeah, no, yes, you got it. We're run by a bunch of volunteers. No one is paid to put on Skepticon. So as such, we are run entirely on our own willpower. So there's a lot of late nights, a lot of caffeine, a lot of alcohol, a lot of just like cheering each other on, making it happen, and cobbling together what we can to make this convention work.
But despite that lack of formality, Skepticon has been kind of at the forefront of changing how conferences are run, particularly in the atheist and skeptic communities. You folks were one of the first conferences back in 2012 to decide to adopt a code of conduct and an anti-harassment policy. Can you tell me a little bit about that decision?
Well, I think at the time it was a pressing issue in the movement, and the entire Skepticon team basically came down on the side of yes, that we should absolutely have one. We're bringing together a bunch of different people for a weekend. We should have a harassment policy and a code of conduct so everyone knows that they need to be respectful, that they will be respected if they're in our space, the space we're curating. It was a matter of safety and it's just important. It's just downright important and necessary to have at any kind of group gathering.
And when you talk about bringing a group of people together, a large group of people, mm-hmm. How big is Skepticon?
I don't know exact numbers because as we're a free event, anyone can come in. They just have to register. The numbers, we try counting whenever the room's really full, but that's not a very reliable way to go about it. Our registrations go from anywhere from 700 to 900, but people show up that weekend. So I always guess around 1,000 to 1,500. That's my best guess.
That is a lot of people to put in one place. And who tends to come to Skepticon? What kind of crowd do you draw in? Particularly compared to perhaps other conferences, because I know you've been to a few at this point.
I like to think we draw in the fun people. Yeah, take that, other conferences. I'm just kidding. But we, because we're free, because there's not a lot of barriers financially to come to Skepticon, we usually get a whole host of people from very different backgrounds.
And where are people coming from to come to Skepticon? Because obviously there are not all that many atheists just hanging around in Springfield.
There's not? Oh, that's weird.
There are a few.
I think I know them all personally.
But not a lot. Probably.
Yeah, they're coming from the surrounding states all across the Midwest. We've had people come from out of the country. We've had people from Australia, from Denmark, from England, from Canada, which I will count as out of the country, even though it's America's hat. All over the world, and especially the Midwest, is where a lot of our attendees come from, because we're just a drive away.
And you keep being told that you should move out of Missouri for various reasons. And
yes.
Part because it's too Southern and religious?
I think it's that, and also people are just not used to having skeptic conventions in the Midwest. A lot of them are on the coasts where there's, frankly, more free-thinking, skeptic, atheist, agnostic people, but we think the conference is definitely needed. Its heart is here in the Midwest, where it's hard to find a community like ours.
And when you talk about being a free conference, not only are you free, but last year you instituted something that I have never seen a conference do before. I have seen science fiction and fantasy conventions do something similar with what they call their con suite, where they have food available. But you're the first atheist or skeptic conference that I have seen offer basically a small food pantry for the weekend. Can you tell me a little bit about how you decided to do that?
Yes, one of our Skepticon team members, Rebecca, we call her Blue Becca because there's two Rebeccas on the team. She was talking to a few conference attendees, and they were talking about how they were really stretching their dollars. And because the conference is free, they were able to attend, but they were living off of like granola bars for the whole weekend. So she decided that last year we were going to have a food pantry where anyone can donate lunch items, food items, and then anyone can come and take it, no questions asked. And there was a microwave available. And that's something we're going to continue this year, as well as we started a kind of prom closet where we had people bring dresses they weren't going to use for the weekend. So if you don't have a formal dress and you'd like to find one, we're going to have a little clothing closet available for people to look at.
Excellent. And as I recall last year, this was not just, as many of these things are, something where if you were a tiny person, you could find a dress. There was a wide variety to choose from.
Oh, yes. All sizes, all shapes.
Excellent. Since we're talking about prom, tell me also why you decided to have a prom. Why prom at a conference?
First of all, I did not decide to have this prom. I would like to take all the credit for this idea, but a lot of how Skepticon evolves is that other people bring their ideas to the Skepticon team, or they suggest things to us, and we're like, yeah, we can do that. And in the case of prom, Hina Databoy and Ben Blanchard were talking about how they wanted a second chance at prom because prom in high school was so miserable for them. And I will attest to that. Prom is not fun in high school. So they tagged me in this Facebook thread, and I thought, well, we have the space. We can make a prom happen. And so Skepticon was born. And now we have it every year because it's just so much fun.
This isn't exactly your standard prom, obviously, or it wouldn't be any fun for a lot of people. I'm one of those weirdos who had fun at prom, but not everybody does. Tell me what people can expect from the prom. You have a guest DJ this year, correct?
We do. I don't know if we've told anybody about it publicly, but we do have a speaker attending.
He has.
Oh, he has? Well, great. Then we'll just out with it. Victor Harris Jr. will be attending as a speaker, and he offered to DJ our prom. And so he will be the DJ this year.
Excellent.
Yes.
And what else can people find at prom?
Well, there's a photo booth where you can get your picture taken with lots of fun dino props. There's a dance floor where you can dance. There's a bar where you can get some drinks. There's tables where you can sit and chat.
You're listening to The Humanist Hour. I'm Stephanie Zavan, and I'm speaking with Lauren Lane, president and co-founder of Skepticon, about how Skepticon is helping to change the way the secular and skeptic movements organize conferences.
While it's called Skeptiprom, there's not a dress code. Like, you don't have to come all decked out in a ball gown. You can wear your street clothes. You can wear some cosplay. You can wear a costume. You can just show up in your Skepticon t-shirt. It doesn't matter. Come one, come all, have fun, dance, have a good time, boogie down.
I have heard a rumor this year that in the theme of a dino prom, there will actually be at least one T-Rex attending dino prom. Is that correct?
Yeah, I have it on good authority that there's might be even three T-Rexes running around the prom this year. I know. I'm hoping, I haven't reached out to Tinkerbell, which is the main T-Rex's name, to Tinkerbell yet, the big body puppet that we all saw last year, if they'll be back at prom. I'm hoping they'll attend, but I bought one of those inflatable dino costumes because I'm an adult who makes really great choices. And I was bragging about it on Facebook, and it turns out PZ, PZ Myers also has one of those costumes, and I'm trying to get him to bring it to Skepticon so we can have a dinosaur slap fight.
Just in case anybody was terribly concerned that Skepticon was going to be too serious a conference.
Yeah, too serious. That's our problem. We're trying to really break the mold of being too stoic and serious.
And yet, at the same time, let's talk about the talks for a second, since obviously this is part of the conference that you take quite seriously.
Yes.
A couple of years ago, you started to do something that, again, I have never seen another conference do, and you decided to, rather than bring back all of your favorites every year, invite a whole bunch of new speakers. Tell me how that decision went.
We felt, the Skepticon team felt like we were getting complacent and we were being a part of this circuit in the skeptic community where we just have the same faces and names at every conference. And we were just getting a little tired, even though we love a lot of the speakers we've had many years. It was getting repetitive and stale. So we decided to scare the shnikes out of ourselves and just invite all new speakers and new names. I think we did pretty well.
I will say, having been one of those speakers who benefited from this new policy, I appreciate that. Last year, when you brought in all new speakers, did you bring in anybody who you were really excited to see, who you might not have seen otherwise at Atheist or Skeptic Conference?
Someone asked me about this the other day, and I don't want to play favorites with my speakers. They're all great, and I am indebted to them forever for coming to Skepticon and talking.
Well, and that's why I specifically asked it as somebody you wouldn't have otherwise seen.
Oh, someone I wouldn't have otherwise seen?
Yeah.
Well, I guess Destin Sandlin, who he's a Christian YouTuber, but he has this really great YouTube channel called Smarter Every Day, where he does a bunch of science and engineering experiments. He was somebody who is not the normal choice for a convention like ours, but one we were very excited about because he brought a different kind of perspective. And it did take some convincing on our part to let him know that we weren't bringing him here just to try to convert him or deconvert him, as it were. And he ended up having a great time.
Anybody else?
Other speakers I was particularly excited about were seeing MMA fighter Fallon Fox. I think athletes, particularly godless athletes, are not something we see at a lot of conventions. And let's see, Marianne Franks. I was really excited to have her come to speak because I first read about her in a magazine called Bitch, which is a feminist magazine that I subscribe to. And I remember reading the article and thinking, she would be great for Skepticon. And then I did a little internet stalking in a very loving way and found her information.
And she spoke about a pretty hot topic last year, didn't she?
Yes. Free speech. Freeze peach, as the kids call it these days.
So Skepticon puts all of your past speakers on YouTube, is that correct? So folks can go out and catch up on this, see what they missed in past years.
Yes. All the talks are recorded and put on YouTube after the conference. We do have a live stream during that you can find on our main webpage during that weekend. So you just go to skepticon.org. It'll pop up the live stream. You can watch it from anywhere on any device because we have basically a wizard on the Skepticon team who knows the internet as well as the back of his hand. I keep calling him a wizard and he keeps assuring me, no, Lauren, it's just, I know what I'm doing. Like, but you're a wizard!
Did you change things up at all for this year? Are you still going with that policy?
We have a few returning speakers this year. I think there's maybe just the two, though. Greta Christina will be coming back, as well as Rebecca Watson. Other than that, it's all new to Skepticon people. And I think there's just... Yeah, I think this year I wanted as many non-straight white dudes as possible. I think we accomplished that.
If I recall correctly, you have one?
Yes.
As you put it, straight white dude speaking this year?
Yes, we just have the one, Jerry DeWitt. And I told him if he wasn't any good, then everyone was going to think that every straight white dude is bad at speaking.
How did he take that?
Well, he laughed at me. He assured me he can handle it, and I'm sure he can.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know at this point what Jerry will be talking about in a general sense? Because I know it's a couple months yet before the conference.
I have no idea. But what I do know is that he's basically a ninja, and I'm going to make him show off his ninja skills.
Okay, what are we looking at?
I was talking to Jerry at Logicon, and somehow ninjas came up, and then, like, butterfly knives, a balisong knife is also what it's called, and apparently he's got, like, a black belt, and he's got all of these skills with butterfly knives. It's amazing. He's magic. He's a ninja preacher.
So are you going to have him doing this on stage, or is this going to be a workshop?
Yes. He's going to do it on stage because I have a practice butterfly knife, one that's not sharp, so he can do it on stage and show us all his ninja skills.
This is the point where I remind myself that I said this was the part where we would be talking about the serious things like the talks. All right, who else is going to be talking this year at Skepticon?
Well, I will talk about one I'm particularly excited about because one of my illustrious jobs is working in a independent bookstore, and there was a book in the science section about the science of fear and thrill-seeking behaviors by Margie Kerr, and she will be one of our speakers this year, and I'm so excited to see what she has to say. Stephanie, do you like roller coasters?
I actually hate roller coasters, but I'm acrophobic.
No bungee jumping or skydiving for you?
No. Can I say no a few more times?
You're allowed. That's totally fine. Maybe this talk isn't for you then, but I'm excited.
I mean, I won't say that I never take any risks. It's just they're going to involve something more important than perhaps a roller coaster. I mean, I'm here interviewing you, having no idea what you're going to say about Skepticon, except that I'm going to come across things that I'm like, oh, well, sure, that could happen at a conference. I just never considered that. No, there are good reasons I never considered that.
I guess that's good. I guess I feel good about that.
Well, I keep coming back to Skepticon. As I said, you are the largest atheist, humanist, skeptic conference that happens every year. So obviously this is working for some people.
Yes, I think we found our people.
So who else are you bringing to talk to us this year?
Another speaker I am excited about, actually Greta Christina and Ingrid, the stuffed. We have a suggestion box every year that we have out with like a no cards and you can write down speakers you'd like to see. And they basically took it into their own hands to stuff this suggestion box full of their ideas. But it turns out they were really great ideas. One of those people was Laura Thomas. She's going to be speaking about the war on drugs. Her title is called A Skeptic's Guide to the War on Drugs. She's going to talk about why some drugs are legal, others are illegal, if the war on drugs is working and who's really winning. And then she's going to take an evidence-based look at how we got into that whole mess and how we can get out of it.
Excellent. Who else?
We're inviting Bria Crutchfield this year, who organized a massive effort for Flint and the water crisis. She got lots of people to donate water.
And then she, like, because they donated so much, she had to rent trucks and get a crew of volunteers to deliver it all, if I recall correctly.
That's the rumor. She basically single-handedly saved the city of Flint for a short while.
She runs the Detroit affiliate of Black Nonbelievers, is that right?
Yes.
Excellent. All right, who else are you bringing in? Who is it that we never hear from that you're bringing in this year?
That we never hear from?
And I shouldn't say that, you know, there are no conferences who are inviting folks like this, because there are several conferences that go out of their way to, for example, the American Atheists Conference does invite a lot of Black atheists to speak, and both Center for Inquiry and American Humanist Association do go out of their way to find scientists and journalists who are working on various skeptical topics to bring in. It's just You folks are, well, okay, so none of them have proudly told me that they're only having one straight white guy on their program this year.
Well, so you see here at Skepticon, as we're run by volunteers and we have no large looming organization to answer to, can do a lot of things that a lot of other conferences frankly can't get away with. Like, say, we're only having one straight white guy this year.
Although I think this is perhaps the first time that you've said that publicly.
I'll say it again. Like, I mean, our movement is inundated with a lot of loud, straight white guy voices, and there's so much more to our movement than that. And so I very strongly felt that we should have as few of those people on our stage as possible this year.
I will be interested in checking back afterwards to find out how that went.
I'll be interested to see how much hate I get for saying that on your interview, the interview here.
It won't be the first show that's gotten some political pushback. We're kind of used to that here. So who else are you bringing in?
Carrie Poppy, Alex Jules, Benny Vimes, Jennifer Raff. All great people. All super chill. All so pumped to be at Skepticon. I think this is the most enthusiastic group we've had. I've gotten a lot of exclamation points back in the emails. I know I send a lot of them, but it's coming back this year. Reciprocal.
So tell me who Benny Vimes is. I think a lot of folks in perhaps the humanist movement haven't come across his work yet.
Benny Vimes is a blogger at The Orbit. He is a trans advocate, and he is like so super cool. Yeah.
And what is he talking about?
I don't think I know if Benny has settled on a topic, but there was talk of Benny talking specifically about the transition that goes with being a trans person and what that entails medically, as far as I know.
That is also my understanding from having talked to Benny. My understanding is that last year, after you had MMA fighter Fallon Fox on the stage and a few people asked some
inappropriate questions,
I was going to go with questions that are probably too personal.
For someone you don't know? Yeah.
For someone you don't know. Yes, so inappropriate. Benny decided that what he really wanted to do was have that talk about medical transition where people could get all of those questions that if you asked a single person would be really, really nosy, but you can bring them and get them answered.
Yeah, I think it's a very brave choice for Benny to do because it's not an easy conversation. I'm sure there will be a lot of awkward questions and conversations afterwards where people just don't know quite how to conduct themselves.
Benny handles awkward better than a whole lot of people I know, so that should be interesting. I think people can be pretty comfortable showing up and knowing that they'll come away knowing more than they did.
Perfect. That's all you can ask for in a speaker.
And tell me about Jennifer Raff.
Jennifer Raff studies genomes. She actually lives really close. She's in Lawrence, Kansas. I heard about her because, gosh, people kept emailing me about Jennifer. More than one person was like, hey, have you heard of Jennifer Raff? And I'd be like, who? What? Well, someone else emailed me. And then I think the last person to have done that was PZ. And he was like, hey, have you heard of Jennifer Raff? I was like, is there a conspiracy here? Are people like, is there an underground movement of people emailing me this woman's name? Turns out she's actually super freaking cool. So yeah, we extended an invitation.
Genomes are kind of a broad topic. Do you know what it is specifically that we're going to learn from her?
Well, let me see. The misuse of genetics in pseudoscience.
That one should be very interesting.
She's got a dual PhD in molecular, cellular, and developmental biology and anthropology. She knows her stuff.
Excellent. Who else did you mention? You mentioned Alex Jules.
I did.
Tell me about him. I mean, I've had him on the show, so I know who he is, but what made you decide to bring him in, and what's he going to be talking about?
I wouldn't take all the credit for deciding to bring these people in. I do have a team I work with. We all basically...
You as you, Skepticon, collectively, you are speaking for all of the people, which I don't know if you warned them that you would be speaking for all of them this morning, but that's what you're doing.
No, I really should have. But anyway, Alex is a secular activist in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He's commonly involved with, topics regarding diversity in the atheist community, as well as atheism in diverse communities. He doesn't know what he'll be talking about this year at Skepticon quite yet, but we're super looking forward to hearing what he has to say and are glad that he said yes. Honestly, I'm glad when every speaker says yes. I'm always thinking they're going to say no. Who are you? What is this? Spam folder. Thank you.
Do you get a lot of that at this point? I mean, obviously, you know, when you're starting out, you invite a couple of speakers on the SSA Bureau because you know the Secular Student Alliance is going to find people who want to speak for you.
Mm-hmm.
But as you grow and you become one of the bigger conferences, do you get turned down a lot?
Yeah, we get turned down or no one responds a fair bit. I would say probably 2/3 of the invitations we send out get rejected. And I think that's largely because we try to reach out beyond the atheism skepticism movement a lot and try to bring in people on the fringes who maybe don't know about us specifically or that conferences like ours exist. So sometimes it could take some convincing or finding the right email, or people have managers and PR people that we have to work around because those people, I think their job is just to say no on behalf of the person they're working for, which I get. But yeah, we get rejected a fair amount.
And while we're talking about speakers, we should note that Skepticon does not pay any of their speakers, correct?
None of them receive an honorarium, but we do cover their travel and accommodations, and I think we give them some sandwiches and all of our love and attention.
Actually, the food last year was really quite good. So, you know, anybody who's gotten that invitation and is thinking, maybe I shouldn't come to the middle of... It's not nowhere, but the middle of...
It's nowhere adjacent.
The middle of the U.S. and talk in this very small population center. At least the food is good.
Hey, we've got that going for us. And there's glitter on the floor, so who doesn't love glitter floors? That was one of the main things that sold me on this new venue, was those shiny floors.
Is there anything you want to say about the venue?
That they're amazing and I love them. Their world's better than the last venue we were in, which they were a little bit more difficult to work with, to say it in the nicest way possible.
You're listening to The Humanist Hour. I'm Stephanie Zavan, and I'm speaking with Lauren Lane, president and co-founder of Skepticon, about how Skepticon is helping to change the way the secular and skeptic movements organize conferences.
This venue, everyone's super easy to work with. They're very attentive, and I think that all the employees who work in that venue fight over being there the same weekend we're there because they love it so much.
So going back to the fact that you're holding this conference in not exactly the middle of the Bible Belt, but it's really pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think we have a real specific Bible Belt. Do you ever run into issues holding a conference where most of the attendees are atheists and you're talking about contentious topics like the war on drugs, or talking about atheism and humanism? Does that ever cause you problems just working within this kind of southern town?
It has, although 9 years in, we feel it less. For a while, we were trying to have a game night, and a lot of the local game stores wouldn't work with us specifically because we were atheists. And we've also had plenty of protesters at our convention, and less so now that we are hosted on a large piece of private property where they can't come on and hold their signs too close to us. I think last year, our 8th year in of being the largest convention of its kind in that town, was the first year we got mentioned in the paper.
And was it a good mention, or was it one of those kind of look at these freaks?
It was a good mention. I would say it was mostly positive. It was way more positive than I was anticipating it would be. But 8 years in, we finally made the paper, the local paper. And that's including the year that we had, like, a billboard put up in the city that said, "Don't believe in God, us either," and Skepticon.
So mostly you get ignored rather than direct pushback.
Yeah.
Speaking of the protesters, I know that is one of the appeals for a lot of people for Skepticon, at least in the old location.
Mm-hmm.
You've mentioned that it's a lot harder for them to protest in the new location, but you do still get a few people who register to come in and talk to the non-believers, don't you?
We do. I think what's changed with this new venue is that they can't just stand outside and hold signs and look dour. They have to come in, register for the conference, agree to our harassment policy before we'll allow them to come in and talk to anybody. So it takes a different kind of brave protester to come in and hang out with us if they'd like to.
And the folks who have talked to them have generally had a pretty good time doing it, correct?
Yeah, I say when you think about your conference being protested, there's often like violent images in your mind, like, they're going to be holding pitchforks and there's going to be open flames and it's going to be very like Frankenstein's monster and we're the monsters and they're going to be chasing us. It's really nothing like that. The protesters who come, I think they expect that kind of Frankenstein thing to happen where we're really mean to them, but I think they're always surprised at how nice everyone at Skepticon is to them and how much they want to engage them in conversation. Skepticon attendees are not afraid of protesters. They want to befriend them. They want to talk to them. They want to see how they tick. I think that's more intimidating than just like watching them with a sign. I'm trying to think if we had any last year, and I don't remember. Maybe there was a few, but it's fairly obvious who's coming in and is not a part of the community because, well, one, they're holding giant signs that like say rude stuff on them, but also they look like they're just wide-eyed because all I can do is guess why. I think it's not what they're expecting, and everyone's super nice. You know, we don't eat babies until after you all leave, so not as scary as you thought.
So let's talk a little bit about the workshops as well.
Certainly.
And again, disclosure, I actually helped put together a track of workshops for Skepticon under the Secular Women Work banner, and it's a set of activist training workshops. But what made Skepticon decide to offer workshops? You were one of the, again, early conferences to do that.
Why do I feel like every time you ask me why we decided to do something, it's someone told us to, and it was a really good idea?
That's not a bad thing to say. If you tell people that, they'll give you good ideas if they know you do stuff with them.
We really do read every comment card and suggestion that comes through, because that's how we improve, is by getting all that feedback and making changes according to. But I'm trying to think about what year we first had workshops, and all of the Skepticon weekends kind of blur into one giant stress dream in my mind where it's hard for me to remember what year, what happened.
It was 2012.
Ah, yes. The year was 2012. I think, you know, someone suggested it as an idea to fill the time that we had in the venue, because we were like, okay, we need it all weekend, so we'll get it from Friday morning to Sunday evening. But there was this big gap between Friday morning and the speakers starting on Friday evening, where we had this venue space that we just weren't using. So we decided, well, what can we do with this time? Oh, we'll host workshops for people to come in and learn from one another and improve. And it's something to do for people who are there early. And there was a great response that first year. So now it's a yearly thing.
And we should note first that Skepticon is currently taking applications for workshops. Is that correct?
Yes, we are. We're currently looking for any workshoppers who would like to host a workshop. The presentation must be interactive, so no getting in there and just talking to people. It needs to be some kind of learning experience, hands-on learning experience for the people in the workshop. And if you're interested, you can find that information on our website, skepticon.org.
And we should also mention, because I know there has been confusion some years, that folks who run a workshop are not considered speakers in terms of having their travel paid for, correct?
Correct. Skepticon, while we look all shiny and pretty and fancy, our budget is always zero. We're run by volunteers, and we are able to operate entirely because people who are listening to your show and people who attend donate money, and that's how we're able to operate. So unfortunately, we can't offer any kind of honorarium to workshoppers, but we can put your photo on our website and tell you you're awesome.
I will say, Skepticon is very good at telling people that they're awesome.
We are very aware that we cannot make Skepticon happen without the work of tons and tons of really great people. You know, we exist because this community wants us to exist, and we're very grateful to be around and to have such a great community to be a part of.
So you mentioned the budget, and you mentioned that you run on no money, and obviously that isn't completely true, because you have things like a venue, and you have things like travel costs.
Right.
Tell me what Skepticon does to fund this conference every year.
Well, other than just consistently asking for people to donate like robots, there's a few things we do. We have special donor gifts if you donate $100 when you register that we think are super, well, we have a good time picking those gifts because we want them to be something really special. And I think last year they were these really rad sunglasses that had skate on them and a dinosaur doing a kickflip. There's a great picture of PZ Myers wearing them, and it's just like, ugh, it's the reason why we picked those sunglasses. It's so great. We have a dino club. If you give to Skepticon monthly, you're a part of this super secret, aka not so secret, newsletter where I write the Skepticon news to you before everyone else in the universe knows. So you get to know who's speaking, what's happening at the events, what kind of super secret-y plans we're cooking up before anyone else does in the Skeptiverse. We have people sponsor the event, which we're always looking for sponsors. So if you're interested, drop me a line. We have ad space in our program. We have an Amazon Smile link. We sell t-shirts in advance and just keep hyping up the conference. I mean, fundraising is not an easy feat, but we give it our all.
And the organization that is Skepticon only runs this conference, correct?
Yes. Every dollar that you donate to Skepticon goes directly to making the convention happen.
We talked a little bit earlier about this year's featured dinosaur. So the featured dinosaur ends up on the t-shirt every year. Is that correct?
I think Marie has been on the t-shirt for the past 2 years because as an Apatosaurus, she's just really one of her favorites. But before that, it was Carl. So we're on year two of Marie. We have a new graphic design team who I'm going to just gush about for a minute. They're called Bear and Otter Company. And there's these two gentlemen that I know here in town in St. Louis, and they've made all of these new dinosaur designs for us this year, as well as the t-shirt. And it's so beautiful!
And people can find that on your website if they're interested?
Yes. Yes.
Excellent. So let's talk a little bit about accessibility. We've already talked about it in terms of financial accessibility and the lengths that you go to make sure that basically anybody can afford to come to Skepticon as long as they can get to Skepticon. Last year, Skepticon really upped its game on accessibility. Can you tell me how that happened and what steps you took?
Well, I had the amazing opportunity to attend Secular Women Work. And while I was there, I attended a workshop about accessibility at conventions that basically blew my mind. And it was something that I took back to the team, and I told them, I have all of these things that I heard about that we can do to make us way more accessible to tons of people if we just make these small steps, if we do these small things. So, a few of the changes that we implemented off the top of my head is that we added a space on our name tags for not only for writing your own gender pronouns, what you're comfortable with, what you want to be called by. There's also a place for a sticker that has your basically social availability on it. This year, we're doing different colors as well as different shapes. It'll be a green, red, yellow system, and there will be in different shapes like a triangle, circle, and square to indicate if you are interested in talking to strangers, only want to talk to people you know, or are not interested in socializing at all. And then we're working with a great company called White Coat Captioning that they translate live a feed of what our speakers and what I'm saying on stage, which is really bizarre to see onto the screen for people who are hard of hearing or deaf to participate in the convention. And this year we're going to be adding a feed link on the website where you can click and the words will pop up right there on your mobile device in front of you. And well, we divided the hallways into a fast and slower traffic kind of thing. Like if you wanted to stop and stand, you have to do it on one side of the hallway, whereas the other side of the hallway is specifically for getting from point A to point B.
I will say that made a huge difference last year. All of a sudden, and I've seen this at a local science fiction convention that implemented a similar thing, all of a sudden Skepticon seemed way less crowded because you never had a problem moving to get to where you wanted to be.
It was wonderful, but at the same, I've had so many people ask me if there's less people at Skepticon because the traffic moved so well.
I have seen this happen to a convention of nearly 6,000 people when they just implemented good traffic management and things on the floor to point out where people should go. It was like everybody disappeared. So it's it can happen at any size. It's amazing.
I mean, it was pretty fantastic getting to power walk wherever you needed to go, particularly the bathroom, because I have very, very short a window of time where I can use the bathroom. Like, oh, gosh, you'd have to elbow your way through.
Speaking of bathrooms.
Yes, speaking of bathrooms.
Skepticon tried a couple of years ago to implement gender-neutral bathrooms and ran into some resistance. Can you tell me about that first?
We made the decision to have a gender-neutral bathroom without consulting our venue. It was one of those balls that we had dropped on the giant circus that is making a convention. And so when we put up the signs on the bathrooms, the venue told us we had to take them down because they weren't able to consult their lawyers on whether or not it was above board, which we get. You know, we didn't warn them ahead of time, and so we were unable to feature gender-neutral bathrooms that year. But last year, we were able to have them in that main hallway. There are floor-to-ceiling doors in those bathrooms, so we were able to make them gender-neutral.
And of course, this is a big thing in the news. People are talking about the idea that if we allow mixing of genders, even if people's definition of what makes a gender is very ill-conceived, that if we allow that mixing, there are going to be problems. Were there any problems last year?
No. No. People just need to use the bathroom. Ugh. If you could die from rolling your eyes, I think I would have done it by now. Honestly, like, it's not a big deal. I think people preferred using those bathrooms over the other ones, and if they didn't, well, there's other bathrooms you can use. It's totally fine. I think the biggest complaint we've had about bathrooms at Skepticon are those weird sinks that don't have a deep enough bowl for the water so that it would splash all over the floor.
And all over whoever was washing their hands.
Yeah, which I'm glad people were washing their hands, and I am not glad that there was water getting everywhere.
Are you making any changes to add additional accessibility this year?
Not that I can think of. We're going to have our quiet room again. We're going to continue all of the color communication badges and whatnot we had last year. I think we're pretty happy with where we're at. But if anyone has a suggestion on how we can be better, we're always looking for that. So if you want to drop us a line at info@skepticon.org, let us know what you think.
Excellent. Are there speakers we haven't highlighted who you would like to highlight?
Oh, shnikes! Well, it's not public yet, but because one of our speakers had to drop out, we had an hour to fill. And Greta, I reached out to Greta to do another Naughty Skeptics hour? What's it called?
Godless Perverts.
Godless Perverts Story Hour. There's going to be one at Skepticon. It won't be recorded, so you have to be there live to see it.
I should also mention, or we should mention, Skepticon used to do panels and stopped for various reasons, including that that's just more people you need to organize. You're bringing back panels this year, is that correct?
We are, yeah. We're going to give it a whirl.
And this is new information for anybody listening to this podcast, most likely at this point. Is there anything you want to say about those or just tease the fact that they're going to happen?
Yeah, no, I won't say any more other than the fact that we're going to be hosting panels again this year, and I hope that everyone enjoys them. We'll be rolling out more information soon, so stay tuned.
So we've talked about a lot of stuff, and we've talked about a bunch of things that there's going to be more information forthcoming. So if people want to find out more about Skepticon, they want to register, they want to keep up on what else you're doing, how do they do that?
All of the information you could ever want or need to know about Skepticon is on our website, skepticon.org. That's SKEPTICON.org. And there's all kinds of links. You can find out who's going to be speaking, who has spoken. You can sign up to do a workshop. You can donate. Anything.
What was that? You said people can donate?
They can! Oh my goodness. Did I not mention that we run entirely upon donations?
All right. Thank you so much, Lauren, for coming on the show and telling us about Skepticon.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
As always, we value your feedback on the show. Have a comment or question for today's guests? Have a suggestion for a guest you'd like us to interview? Email us at humanisthour@americanhumanist.org or call our listener feedback line at 202-618-1371. Thank you again for listening to The Humanist Hour, the official broadcast of the American Humanist Association.